Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a continued special series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're very lucky to be joined this evening by a former midfielder, Dave Edwards, 307 appearances for the Wolves, 44 goals between 2008 and 2017, 43 caps for Wales and 3 goals. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good, thanks for having me on.
Oh, Dave, absolutely no problem at all. You're one we've been looking forward to having on because you have featured in a couple of the teams. So I did set you the task.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, always good to hear. Quickly, before we start, Dave, I know you're running your foundation and you've been running it for a number of years now. How's all that going?
Yeah, it's grown really well, and the amount of the services we deliver now is a lot more than when we started, and it's kind of heading in a different direction, but it's really rewarding, and we're helping so many families, mainly in Shropshire but also in surrounding areas as well. It's making a real difference. Obviously tough at the moment with everything that's going on, with coronavirus and things like that, but we're battling through it, and I'm sure that we can be in a position once it's all over that we can still be in a good place and still be able to crack on and keep delivering our services.
Fantastic. And I know you've got a play centre as well, haven't you, Dave?
That's right, yes. We've got the Little Rascals Play Centre, but what that does now is, when we first opened it, it was a business, but once we started the foundation and we saw what amazing work that we could do through that, we decided to change the actual play centre from a business into the foundation's name, so that any money that is spent inside the centre goes directly into the foundation's pot. And we found that's been a lot more rewarding, and it allows us to do so much more because we don't get any sort of outside help from local authorities or anything like that. It was all just from fundraisers, so the ability now to have a play centre which funds the foundation allows us to do so much more. But like I said before, the coronavirus, it means our play centre is shut at the moment, which has a huge impact on the foundation. But long term, it's a brilliant model which is working well for us, and I say it will allow us to grow and get to more families, which is the main thing.
Well, Dave, it's absolutely fantastic, obviously, what you're doing, and I know you've been doing it for a number of years, so we wish you, obviously, continued success with that. I did set you the task of picking your best 11. Now, to be honest, 307 games for Wolves, you've got a lot of players to choose from. You know, you was a very, very loyal servant to the club. So, what formation are you going to go for, Dave?
I've gone 4-4-2. I've gone quite old school.
Brilliant.
Yeah, just to get the players in that I think needed to be in there. I think it's the best one, best formation for it.
Brilliant. And Dave, you know, you can pick yourself. So if you know, if you want to change it now, if you haven't got yourself in the team, you can.
But no, I don't think I'd get in this midfield.
I'll tell you what, that's very honest. So who are you going to start with in goal, Dave?
So in goal, I've gone for Carl Hakimi. It was quite a tough choice. I think Wayne Hennessy's a terrific goalkeeper. I played a lot of football with Wayne with Wales as well, but I think Carl, he edges it for me in terms of what he brought to Wolves on and off the pitch and in the dressing room. But as a goalkeeper, he was so unfortunate with injuries through a lot of his career, and then obviously his illness at the end of his career. I really think if he'd have been able to stay fit and with all the assets he had as a goalkeeper, he could have played at the very top. I really do believe that.
Oh, I know, and obviously we all know about the very unfortunate illness he was diagnosed with, but obviously he'd still be playing now, and he would still be playing at the highest level, wouldn't he, Dave?
Definitely, yeah. He was one of the best goalkeepers I've seen in terms of sort of control in his box, any balls that come in the area. He's such a big, loud voice, big presence. He would come and win it and give so much confidence to the defenders and the players around him because he was always so consistent with what he did. And he's a great shot stopper as well. And I think he was just unlucky with Wolves. I think the timing of everything with Carl was always unlucky. Wayne sort of seemed to just be ahead of him when they were starting out, and Carl went on loan to loads of different clubs, and every time he come back and got in the team, he would just pick up an injury.
Yeah.
And it probably wasn't until Kenny Jackett came him in charge, and then it Carlisle two or three years there where he was properly number one, but still he still picked up injuries in seasons and was never able to sort of go and play 50-60 games on the bounce, which was a huge shame for him. But as a goalkeeper, he was, yeah, he's definitely one of the best I've ever played with.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that's obviously a fitting tribute to Carl and obviously the keeper he was. So who are you going for at right back, Dave?
So right back, I'm going for Matt Doherty.
Matt Doherty?
I think where he's at now is just incredible. One of the best fullbacks in the Premier League. I'm so proud of what he's done, because coming into Wolves in the circumstances which he did, and then battling through all the different managers and formations, going on loan, the different leagues, and he's just always been a constant. He's never moaned, always got on with it, and then it just took Nuno really to understand exactly what his best assets were, and that was still getting forward. And that system that Nuno plays is tailor made for Doc, and he's just flourished in it. And I think he's so different to any other fullback in the league or wing back, because he's so good going forward, but he's really solid defensively as well.
And with Wolves at the minute, Dave, look, they can scour the planet for the best players in the world. You know, literally, it's obviously a fantastic time to be a Wolves supporter. But Matt Doherty, you know, has kept his place, and rightly so, because, you know, Nuno has got access to pretty much any fullback he wants. So to have that faith in Matt Doherty, who he inherited as well, is pure testament to him.
It is, and obviously brilliant from Nuno to understand what Doc could bring to the team and to make him progress. He's got so much better as well at everything, not just his football, but you can tell he looks like an athlete now. He looks like a completely different person, and that's all down to Nuno. But I think he's won his place in the team, he's kept his place in the team, and now he's at a point now where Wolves will do anything to keep hold of him, because if for whatever reason he wasn't playing at Wolves, there'd be pretty much most teams in the Premier League would be ready to snap up his services. He's that big an asset to the club.
100%, and he scores a lot of goals for a fullback, doesn't he, Dave?
Yeah, that's no surprise. He always thought he was a forward player in training. If there was ever a chance for him to roam out of position, if it was a five-a-side, whatever, he'd always be up front. He'd always think he could play in the number 10. That was his thing in training. And he'd be infuriating as well if you ever did sort of call them rondos, but circles where you've got two players in the middle or one player in the middle and you're trying to keep it around the outside, he'd be flicking the ball, doing cruis, doing everything, and if you were his partner you'd constantly be in the middle. So he's infuriated, but it's just he's got this attacking flair which he's dying to release, and he can finally do it now on the football pitch rather than just on the training pitch.
Brilliant. So we'll move to left back, Dave. Who's the left back going to be for you?
This was a really tough one. And I've gone with someone who I didn't play with for very long at all, and it is Barry Douglas.
Okay.
But I just feel what I call him Basher, everyone called him Basher at Wolves, but what Basher brought to the left back or something, I never really saw it. It was just an out and out, just a real cultured left foot. Probably goes back to more of a Lee Naylor sort of player, who I was never fortunate enough to play with at Wolves. But I just thought the quality he had on the ball, you could tell that from his very first session. Lovely left foot, great distribution from left back as well. His set pieces were always brilliant. And I knew he was going to be good, but then to then go on and see how good he was in that promotion season, he was definitely one of the ones who I was surprised that did leave the club. I thought he was going to go on and progress like Matt Doherty did in the Premier League. Obviously, as you said before, they've got the luxury of getting in players like Johnny, and you can see why they've done that. But unfortunately for Bashir, he was just unfortunate that it was his place that got lost, because I definitely thought he deserved a chance in the Premier League with what he did in that promotion season.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think Wolves fans have got to be forgiven, because when we signed Barry Douglas, I think a lot of us were thinking, who is he? And then he burst onto the scene. And once again, I was very, very surprised, as we all were, when they sold him. But then Johnny comes in, so it was it was hard on him, really, I think, because he did have a fantastic season, and he did nothing wrong, did he, really?
Yeah, he did. And what has happened to Barry though is he should always be grateful for Wolves for giving him that opportunity and that platform to go and play as well as what he did, because yes. Then to get a big move to another huge club like Leeds, that probably wouldn't necessarily been on the table if he hadn't had that season at Wolves. So it's allowed him to progress and get some security up at another big club. But yeah, I'd have liked to have seen him just have a go in the Premier League. I thought he deserved that. But then Johnny's come in and has been absolutely outstanding, and he's sort of justified the move that Nuno had to make.
100%, 100%. Well, as they say, Nuno knows. So,
yes.
who are going to be your two centre-halves, Dave?
So, the one nailed on one was Jody Craddock.
Oh, yeah.
Just, he was everything you want from a centre-back in terms of off the pitch and on the pitch. Just a real leader, someone who leads by example more than anything.
Yes.
I was so lucky that I got to enter that Wolves dressing room at the same time that he was in there, because he taught me so much about how to be a professional footballer. He's definitely someone who I've looked up to and tried to model my career on, because I was 22 when I signed for Wolves, and Jody would have sort of been an older pro. But I just looked at the way he looked after himself, his attitude towards training, his performances on the pitch, and I just knew from the first time I met him that if I wanted to have a long career in the game, I would need to emulate the stuff that he does, and that's what I tried to do. And he's had such a big impact on my career. Probably doesn't know it as much as he should do, but yeah, I take a lot of what I do from off Jody, and on the pitch, an absolute warrior. Put his body on the line, brilliant in the air. One of the best defenders I've seen attacking the ball in the air. And I love it that he's sort of overcome a lot of setbacks, even at Wolves when he was loaned out, and then he come back and was sort of captain of that, or sort of joint captain with Carl Emery for that promotion season 08-09 on the back of being loaned out the year before. That just sums up Jody and his attitude towards his work.
Oh, he does. I mean, listen, I think we was all all guilty of thinking when he did get loaned out to Stoke that, you know, that could be the end, and you know, he'd lost his place. But then he come back, in my opinion, and probably most people's, a better player.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Mick McCarthy saw that. It's almost like you come back and had a point to prove.
Yes.
And he definitely did that, because for the next two or three seasons he was magnificent. And it was unfortunate that it's obviously what he had to go through with Toby, his little boy at the time, that probably forced him into retirement a year earlier than what he would have liked to. But he'll always go down as a Wolves legend in my eyes, and I'm sure the fans' eyes as well.
Oh, 100%. And he was one of them. Like you, Dave, he gave 100% on the pitch, and obviously he lived his life, you know, well off the pitch as well. True family man, and like you said, a warrior on the pitch. So who's going to partner Jody, Dave?
So I was sort of stuck between with two lads, really. I think Danny Bart for what he's done for the club, and then I went more for down the road of who would fit well up with Jody, and I thought Danny and Jody are very similar players, so I've actually gone for Richard Stearman.
Okay.
I thought it's a really good mix at centre back of Jody, who's the more aggressive one, the one who's going to win the tackles and things like that. Then you got Steers, who was always really good on the ball, and I go back to the season he first come, him and Jody played together a lot that season, and I thought Steers was brilliant, and again somebody who went away from the club and come back, but overall from his time in the Wolfshire I thought he was very, very reliable, didn't make a lot of mistakes, which a lot of ball playing centre backs do. And I thought he gave us an extra dimension when he played, in terms of playing out from the back and being able to do that. So yeah, I've spent a lot of time with Steers, and sort of similar sort of ages, but I thought he was brilliant for Wolves.
Yeah, good choice, and obviously he's gone on to have a great career after Wolves as well, hasn't he?
He has done. His career has been brilliant, right from Leicester right the way through. He's always played sort of championship level and above, and again he looks after himself in the right way. His attitude towards football is right, and then it rewards you. Football has I always think football rewards hard work, and he's another one who does that, and they say he's had a wonderful career off the back of it.
He certainly has. He certainly has. So we're going into midfield now. So I take it you're playing a couple of wide players and two in the middle. Who's going to be your player wide right?
Wide right. So this player is the best player I think I've played at Wolves, and that's Helder Costa. Yeah. I think that last sort of 18 months I was there, Helder was just magnificent. That last season under sort of started under Walter Zenger and then to Paul Lambert, but Rob Edson, Helder was, if it wasn't for Helder, we could have been in a real relegation fight, even though we were at times. I think Helder alone did enough to lead us to sort of mid-table safety. And for me personally, he was an absolute joy to play with because he set up so many of my goals. He was direct, pace, skill, and you always knew Helder, as soon as he did get past his man, he was going to put a cross in. And I love that. That's all I want off a winger. Yeah. Not too many tricks, just get past your man and get a cross in. And even on his right foot, he would still put it in an area which I knew I could just go and attack. And he gave me probably a good 4 or 5 tap-ins that season. So I've got a lot to thank for him. And I am more surprised than anyone that it hasn't worked out for Helder at Wolves. I really thought that under Nuno, he would just flourish. And in the Premier League, he would go on to be one of the best signings Wolves have made. And I'm so gutted it hasn't worked out for him because he's such a nice kid. But it just felt like, it looks like he lost a little bit of his confidence for whatever reason, because in that, would it have been 16, 17 season, I think it was, he was just magnificent.
And you know, you can tell with a lot of players, and I think Helder's one of them, like you said, he's a confidence player. And he did start off on fire, and I was as surprised as anyone once again when obviously he left. But it just shows how strong the Wolves side is, doesn't it, when a player like Helder Costa isn't in the plans?
Of course it doesn't. The thing is with Helder, when he first signed, he was kind of the influx of the first Portuguese boys who came in. He came in with Jai Teixeira and Silvio, if you remember Silvio as well. And Helder, I thought, he's going to be miles off it. He looked like a kid. He looked lightweight. He was really quiet. And in training, he was, first couple of weeks, you thought, he's not going to fancy this. He doesn't know what the English game is going to be like. And then all of a sudden, he got put in against, I think it was Newcastle away, maybe. And we won that game, I think we won 2-0. And he was amazing. And from that moment on, as I said, the confidence thing, he just looked like confidence just flooded his veins. And he went on after that to just, everyone knew, wow, he is going to be a superstar, this kid is. And the amount of times after a game that Paul Lambert would come in, I always remember he'd be sitting down, if we'd won the game, he'd just be looking around, he'd just point at Helder and say, "You're just world class, Helder, you are world class." And that's what everyone thought at the time, and that's why I'm so shocked that it hasn't quite happened for him.
Wow. Oh yeah, I know. And is it really working for him at Leeds at the minute as well, Dave? Because
it doesn't seem to be, does it? He's still in and out and not really had his chance to go in and cement his place in the team. I really hope it clicks for him because he has so much to offer. He really does. And as I said, I was at Wolves for just under 10 years and he is, I think, the best player that I've played at Wolves ability-wise. And I said that quite soon after he came, after his first sort of probably couple of months of playing. I remember doing a five-a-side team with Mikey Burrows and I put Helder in the team and he was like, "Really?" And they said, "Only after Helder had probably been playing a couple of months." Oh, right. And I was like, "Trust me, he's that good. He's going to be a superstar." I couldn't speak highly enough of Helder. And I said, I'm so disappointed that it just didn't quite work out for him in the end.
Actually, your team's quite interesting, Dave, because a lot of the players I interview retired some time back or played for Wolves some time back. So what's really interesting is you've mentioned quite a few players who are still playing, and like Helder Costa, once again, he would walk into most sides. So moving over to the left, Dave, who is your your wide left player?
Okay, so I said that centre back was a hard decision. This was my hardest decision to make. I've still, at the moment, I've got a piece of paper in front of me where it's me scribbling on. And I've still got two names that I think I'm still yet to pick.
Brilliant. Who are your two players?
So I've got Matt Jarvis and Sacco.
Okay.
And I just, Jarvo, he was brilliant all the time he's at Wolves. But he had a couple of seasons in the Premier League. Well, even in the Championship, that season we won it, where he was unstoppable. And then before he went to West Ham, the season we got relegated, he was like a shining light. He was no one could live with his pace, and he was that good. And again, he was another winger I love playing, because even though he's right footed, he'd beat his man down the line, and as soon as he went past his man, you know he's putting it in the box. Yes. And then on the flip side, he cuts him on his right foot, you know it's coming in. So I love playing wings, and he's such a nice lad as well. I got him really well with Jarbo. He's probably one of my best mates when he was at Wolves. So I've got a lot of time to still speak to him now. So he's up. But then I've got Sacco, who's just he's like a wizard, mercurial player. And those players you don't see that often, do you? So you've always got to try and find a place for him. And I think Saka came in real difficult times, didn't he, under Solbakken? And
yes.
Still was probably our best player that first season. We got relegated. And then for him to stay in League One when he could have easily left, he was monumental in that League One season and the following campaign as well. Everyone was gutted to see him go. And he would have been someone who'd have stayed at Wolves. And I think he could still be there now playing if he would have stayed. But I think I'm probably going to have to give it to Sacco, just because of how much he could turn a game by himself.
Yes.
There's many games at Molineux where it looks like the game is dying and he'd pick up the ball in his own half and he would barge three or four players out of the way.
Yeah.
And then hit a thunderbolt from 25 yards. I think Sacco, for his more majestical skills and making something happen out of nothing.
Oh yeah, well exactly, and he used to do that, and there'd be games where we'd be, you know, in a little bit of trouble and we'd be trying to, you know, battle our way through, and then it'd go out to Sacco and he'd pull a goal out of nothing, and those players are quite rare, aren't they, Dave?
Yeah, and that's what we did. We did so much, especially when we got back into the Championship. We knew we could stay in games, and then if Sacco got the ball at some point in the last 20 minutes, he could score a goal or make something happen out of nothing. And as you said, that those players are worth their weight in gold. And I say it's a shame again they couldn't keep hold of him, because I think his contract ran out, didn't he, before he went to Palace. But he served the club well. He stayed with the club when they got relegated, and the fans loved him and deservedly so. Everybody wants a player like Sacco in the team who can get people off their seats, and he definitely does that.
And back to Matt Jarvis, obviously you played with Jarvo for a long time. I mean, obviously you're an international player, Dave, you know how important it is and you know, an honour to play for your country. Did you feel a sense of pride when obviously Matt Jarvis got his chance for England?
Oh yeah, definitely, especially when he's sort of one of my good mates at the time, and yeah, it was incredible for him. I think for the club, I think Wolves were so, I think everyone in the city, anyone who would go and watch the game, was so proud that Wolves had a representative playing for England. So they haven't had that since Bully. And
exactly.
And I think that meant the world. It's a shame he couldn't get more caps. And I think at the point he got in, he almost needed to then go on and have a really unbelievable run of form to stay in the team. But Wolves themselves were struggling at the time, and we ended up getting relegated that year, and that probably played its part in him not really getting another chance. But yeah, he made the whole club in the city hugely proud by that. I say it's a long time since Bully played for England, and hopefully Connor Cody could be the next one.
Well, I was going to say, yeah.
If Southgate calls a singer, right?
Before Bully, I believe it was John Richards. So we're sort of going back into the, you know, early 80s, late 70s there. So I think Connor Cody deserves a chance eventually, and put Wolves back on the map with the England internationals.
Fingers crossed.
So, centre midfield, Dave, obviously this was your position, so, and if there's two players keeping you out this side, they've got to be decent. So who are you going for, Dave?
So the first one is someone, again, I didn't, a bit like Barry Douglas, I didn't play with long, but it was enough to know what a wonderful player he was, and that was Ruben Neves.
Wow.
Just like you can see, he's just growing with every game, isn't he, and every performance, and the amount of wow moments he's given Wolves fans is just incredible. Wolves are very lucky, not so much now, but in the Championship, they were so lucky to have a player of his quality in the team. And there's other players as well, like Jota and Bolly and people like that, who realistically we shouldn't have had at that time.
Ruben in particular,
he's going to be a superstar. He is a superstar, but he's going to be an even bigger superstar. And you could tell that right from his first training session. You really could. Technical ability is one of the best I've ever seen. sorry, excuse me.
And I mean, for Ruben Neves, he's got that ridiculous statistic where I don't think he's hardly ever touched the ball in the opponent's box. I mean, obviously, Dave, you was a little bit different. You know, you did like to get, you know, forward and, you, as you said, you scored the odd tapping. But Ruben does sit back quite deep, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I'd love to have played for Ruben, played with Ruben a lot more. Because I think that with him sitting there, I'd have happily run around him and done all his donkey work and win the ball back for him and give it to him and then try and get on the end of some of his passes. It'd have been a joy to play with him more than what I did. But yeah, I think he doesn't need to get in the box because by him sitting in the middle of the pitch a little bit deeper, he can see the whole picture and he can control the game. And I really think Ruben Neves, he controls the tempo what Wolves play with. He decides if they're going to move the ball quickly. He decides if it's going to get slowed down. And for a 21, 22-year-old to be dictating that, that just shows what a player he is. And his range of passing is just out of this world. And then obviously his finishing. And it's no accident, even the first few weeks he was at Wolves, he was just be practicing free kicks every single day, over and over again. And it's no accident that the best players in the world is when hard work meets talent, and that's what he's got. He's got the talent, but he's also got the attitude to go with it as well. That's why he's improving week on week.
Oh, and he's just getting better and better. And I think when you've just said, you know, 21 years of age, or you just think, wow, I mean, he's playing like a player, isn't he? At his peak, in his mid to late 20s, really. He doesn't play, really, at the age he is.
Exactly. And I think what I noticed before, obviously, the season went into lockdown, I watched Wolves a few times. I actually went to the Torino game, and I went to watch a few games on telly after Christmas. And I just felt like he looked physically different. He looked like all of a sudden he was a little bit leaner. He was getting around the pitch more. He was tackling more, and he was more of a physical presence. And then if you add that on top of that outrageous ability he's got, you turn him into the complete midfielder. And I think, again, he's only going to get better. And with all the staff at Wolves, at the moment, everything is tailored around the player, as it should be. So he's got all the support around him in terms to improve physically and also technically as well. And the work they're doing with him looks like it's obviously paying off, because he's improving week on week, and it's not just his football ability, but his that physique. And the Premier League is so athletically tough, and it looks like he's really up to speed with that now.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So who's going to partner Ruben Neves, Dave?
So I'm going with Nenad Milias. Just someone I loved playing with, loved watching, training. Just, I can't get enough of, because I could never do it myself, but ball playing midfielders, I could watch them all day. And like Ruben, Nenad was one of them. I was close to, I like Jamie O'Hara for his ability. He was another outstanding footballer, but yeah. I think Nenad just edged it because of, I think, the quality of his left foot. And I always remember when we first signed him, I remember speaking to TC about him, and it was I think we'd signed him, but he hadn't trained. And I was saying, "Oh, what's this Milias like?" And TC says, "You wait. You said we've been scouting him for ages. We've been watching all the Red Star games." He says, "He will put the ball wherever you want him to. So really? You put him on a corner, a free kick, you wait till you see him." And we weren't disappointed. And he turned up, and he was this sort of, you couldn't have a more stereotypical looking Eastern European as when he walked in the dressing room. He would openly say he smoked 20 a day, but it just didn't affect his football ability. He was never going to get around the pitch. He was never going to be an athlete, and that's the difference to what someone like a Ruben Neves to Nenad Milias. That's how the career paths will differ. Nenad is brilliant, but he would never play at the top because he never had the attributes what Ruben's got in terms of physically. But Nenad knew that, and he just knew, just giving the ball at his feet, and he would just pick passes all over the pitch, and then his dead balls were brilliant. He's a really good lad off the pitch as well. Everyone loved Nenad. And he had those times when Mick wouldn't play him because he knew that he needed more energy in there, more workmanlike players, but it never really fussed Nenad. And when he did play, he always produced the goods in terms of what he knew he could deliver. He wouldn't try and stay after training and work hard in his fitness because he just knew that wasn't him. And he would just give me the ball at my feet. And so I admire players like that, because there's something I knew that I couldn't do or ever be as good as them. I had to make the most out of all the other attributes I had in terms of the physical ones, and to be able to watch players like Nenad and Ruben and Jamie O'Haru, all that natural ability. I used to love it.
You see, that's honest of you to say that, Dave, you know, that you've had to work on certain strengths when players like Nenad are just technically gifted. Now, what's also interesting is I did an interview with a player from the sort of late 60s, Terry Wharton, and he used to say about Dave Wagstaff having a crafty fag before the game, and Steve Ball says Keith Curl liked a crafty fag. So what's really interesting is a player from recent times liked, you know, having a few crafty ones.
Yeah, you come in the morning, you smell a bit of smoke on him, and he'd be straight off after training as well. But yeah, everyone loved Nenad though. He was such a good lad, nice lad, real funny. But I'd say he was the most stereotypical Eastern European. If you were thinking of an Eastern European in your head, it'd be Nenad. Just the way he dressed, the way he walked, and
great
guy.
So. Two up top, who your striker is going to be, Dave?
So I've gone for Stephen Fletcher and Kevin Doyle.
Okay, interesting.
So this is one of the reasons I went two up front, because both of them were trying to play one of them or the other one, and I just always thought they were both sort of as good as each other, and I felt they both needed to be in the team, and for very different reasons. I think Fletch was more of a technical striker, such as sweet left foot, goal scorer, really good in the air, sort of light on his feet, easy on the eye to watch. And then you had Doyle, who just work his absolute socks off. And that first season in the Premier League where we signed Doyle, he was outstanding. He used to play 4-5-1, and we would literally be deep as anything, the four and the five, and then we'd have a big clearance and he would go and bounce off one centre back, bounce off the full back, get the ball into the corner and keep it until 15 seconds later so we could all catch him up. He was that good. He was never an out and out goal scorer, but what he offered the team and everything else was really what made him such a special player. And he's another one who had an amazing career. And I think his years at Wolves were brilliant in terms of what he offered the team. And again, both of them really, really down to earth, nice lads as well. That's what makes it easier to pick them.
Oh, 100%. And I think Mick, you know, when Mick signed a player, he would do his homework on him in terms of, you know, their attitude, not just their ability. And once again, you know, there's two players there who you could see obviously done things right off the pitch. Now, Stephen was a real all-rounder, wasn't he, as a striker?
He was, and he came more sort of, was he signed in the second season in the Premier League, I think, didn't he? And it took a while for him to get in the team. And then the following season, he really started scoring goals. Fletch could do everything because he had this height, so he was good in the air. But he also had real good ability when the ball's played into him, the feet. He would sort of get himself in the pocket, so that area space between the midfields and their defence, and he would find a little bit of space, and he had such a lovely touch. They'd be able to get on the half turn and then pick out passes from there as well, where Doyle was very much playing on the shoulder of the last man, so very different. But yeah, Fletcher, and he was so good in the air as well. He never looked like he could really get up and jump, but he had that unique ability where he can get power on his headers, so he didn't really have to do too much. He'd hang in the air and all of a sudden he would just get his neck muscles working and he'd power a header back across the goal. I think he's one of the best strikers I've seen in terms of being able to score off crosses in the air. Both different but played similar roles at the club, I thought.
I did feel for Kevin Doyle, because obviously in the Premier League years, when in that season when he was playing up top a lot on his own and, you know, holding the ball up and, you know, taking it into the corner and just trying to slow the game down, really, sometimes it must have been so hard for him, because he wants to score goals. He'd scored goals at Reading. But obviously, playing up top on your own, it's hard to do, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, we always made sure we knew how much we appreciate everything he did. And I say it's never nice for a striker when you say you're only scoring four or five goals a season. But I say what he brought to the team, Mick appreciated so much. It allowed us to be a bit more defensive, a little bit more counter-attacking, being able to be solid, be resilient, because we knew that if we did clear it, we've got half a chance of keeping up there for a little bit. It's nothing worse than when you're clearing it and the centre half, the other team just heading it straight back down your throats and you're under pressure again. Doyle was kind of, he had this ability to, as the ball was going up high in the air, he'd almost jump into the centre back just so they couldn't get up themselves. And then it would just hit Doyle's chest and it would be down. And then he would start running down the channel with the ball and everyone's trying to catch him up. And he would win you a throw in or a foul or something and just get the whole team up the pitch. And it didn't half out, especially say it's our first season in the Premier League and we were just desperate for survival, so any points we could earn, so we were happy with nil nils and things like that,
of course, and
he was a big part of that, defending from the front.
Oh, huge. So your team, Dave, 4-4-2, is Carl Hakimi in goal, Matt Doherty right back, Barry Douglas left back, centre halves of Jody Craddock and Richard Stearman, Helder Costa wide right, wide left Bakary Sakho, the centre midfielders Ruben Neves and Nenad Milias, and your strikers Stephen Fletcher, Kevin Doyle. And who's going to manage this side, Dave?
I think it'll have to be Mick McCarthy for me. I think he was brilliant, and still think to this day if Mick would have stayed, we'd have had a chance of staying in the league. So it was the wrong time to get rid of Mick. But everyone knows he's just a down-to-earth bloke, wanted the team to improve, would wear his heart on his sleeve, and he was honest, and that's all you want from a manager. He was huge on my career. I took such a big step in the space of... So I left Shrewsbury for Luton and then came to Wolves. So in the space of 6 months, I jumped up two leagues and I was playing international football, and Mick was a huge part of that. And then, obviously, a year later, I was playing in the Premier League. So I can't thank him enough, because I fitted into what a player that Mick McCarthy would trust and play. Yes. So I've played 50-60 games in the Premier League because of Mick McCarthy.
Wow.
And I'll always be grateful for that. So Mick will manage it.
And now you're back home in Shrewsbury. How are you enjoying your time there, Dave?
Yeah, it's been good. I had a bit of a tough start when I came back. I had a bad injury at Reading and I came back to fitness when I signed for Shrewsbury last January, picked up another injury which kept me out for pretty much the rest of that season. But I've really enjoyed it this year. It took me a while to get my fitness sort of really up to pace, but since Christmas I've been feeling fitter and stronger and I feel like I'm contributing to the team more. It's a shame when obviously this lockdown occurred, because I felt like I was really getting into a bit of form as well.
But
I'm feeling good. I'm 34, but I still feel fit as anything, and I just hope that I can keep offering on the pitch, because this lockdown has made me realise how much I'm going to miss football when it's all over.
So
I want to try and play for as long as possible, and but I'll only sort of want to be true if I'm offering on the pitch. I wouldn't want to be there at pity or anything like that, so hopefully I can stay fit. I've got another year left in my contract next year, and it'd be nice to extend that and then sort of say my farewells.
You're not smoking 20 fags a day, so you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right for another 4 or 5 years.
Still playing, I think.
Don't worry about that. But thanks for your time, Dave. We do obviously want to get you back on the Wolf Whistle podcast soon to hear your full story and talk about the fantastic achievements and, you know, honour of playing for your country. And once again, Dave, thank you for being a loyal servant to the Wolves. Over 300 games and 44 goals. You know, promotions to boot. You was a big part in, obviously, the McCarthy years in the Premier League, and obviously subsequently getting us up. So, Dave, we really appreciate that. So, thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. Always a pleasure to wear a Wolf shirt.
Brilliant. Really appreciate that, Dave. Thanks so much.
Cheers. No worries. Bye.